Titus chapter 3. There's a story of an old Indian. After living many years in sin, this Indian was led to Christ by a missionary. And friends asked him to explain the change in his life. This Indian, reaching down, picked up a little worm and placed it on a pile of leaves. Then, touching a match to the leaves, he watched them smolder and burst into flame. As the flames worked their way up to the center where the worm lay, the chief suddenly plunged his hand into the center of the burning pile and snatched out the worm. Holding the worm gently in his hand, he gave this testimony to the grace of God. Me, that worm. Me, that worm. We've been in a series entitled So Great a Salvation. And we've seen in our study that man in his natural state is lost, dead in trespasses and sins, in desperate need of God to intervene. We have observed that salvation begins with God. In fact, salvation from A to Z is a work of God. Amen. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The saved, we've seen, are chosen of God, chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. And those whom he chose, he predestinated to become conformed to the image of his Son. Yes, amen. And we might feel uncomfortable with that, some of us. But that's not my words. That's the words of Scripture. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And we saw several weeks ago the call of God and how God puts out a general call to all mankind. He says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. It's a general call that goes out to all men. But then we saw, too, that God has a specific call. That when an individual comes to Christ, there's a call that goes out to that individual. You remember we saw that all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We're going our own way. Everybody's turned to their own way. But then there comes that day when God calls. He calls. I hear that voice behind me saying, this is the way. And by God's grace, we turn. You remember what that's called? What's that called? Repentance. And we place faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the two sides of what we call conversion. Repentance and faith. And last week, we saw that this is all of grace. Marvelous, matchless, infinite, amazing, wonderful, scandalous grace. Me, that worm. That's what we saw. Me, that worm. Well, this morning we want to go on with so great a salvation. And I want to read some verses here in Titus 3. This is where we're going to start this morning, starting in verse 5. And I want to read verses 5, 6, and 7. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now there's one word in there I want to camp on this morning, and it's found in verse 5. It's the word regeneration. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we want to take a look at the doctrine of regeneration. Regeneration. Let's bow in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, as we come to your word today, and as we consider the great truths of your so great a salvation, Holy Spirit, would you open our minds and open our hearts and help us to understand. And Lord, if there be anyone here this morning that has not entered into so great a salvation, Lord, touch their heart, we pray. And Lord, the ones here today that know you, Lord, may our hearts be warm today, and may we be more in love with you because of what you have done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. First of all, this morning, the meaning of regeneration. What does it mean? The regeneration. And I'd like to begin with some synonyms or words that mean the same thing as regeneration. And some of these words you're very familiar with. Reborn. To be regenerated means to be reborn. Born again. Made alive. Quickened. Beget. To bring forth. That's what regeneration. Those are the terms that the Bible uses for regeneration, to be reborn. Now, a definition. Let me give you a definition. And this I take from Thiessen's Lectures in Systematic Theology. He gives this definition. We may define regeneration as the communication of divine life to the soul, as the impartation of a new nature or heart, and the production of a new creation. By regeneration, a sinner becomes a child of God and so is introduced into the divine family, into God's family. And now let's break that down just so we know what we're talking about. First of all, regeneration involves the communication of divine life. John 10:10 says, Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. In John 10:28, Jesus said that I give them eternal life. In 1 John 5:11-12, it says, this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And that life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son hath not the life. God sent Christ to bring life, to regenerate us, to communicate to us divine life. He came also not only to communicate divine life and to give us a new nature, a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says that he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, a divine nature. We're born with an Adamic nature. We're born with a human nature, a sinful nature. But when we are regenerated, God imparts to us a new nature, the nature, God's nature in us. and a new heart, a new heart. Jeremiah 24, 7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me with all their heart. And Ezekiel 11, 19 states, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. God takes a hard heart out in regeneration and puts a new, soft, spiritual heart in us. He communicates divine life. He communicates a new divine nature to us. And in regeneration, there's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a new creation, a new creature because of regeneration. And by this we become children of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority to become sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. We now, 1 John 3:2 says, now, beloved, we are children of God. And all this takes place when regeneration takes place. In his book, 12 Things You Need to Know About Salvation, Max Anders gives this simple definition of regeneration. He says, regeneration, or the new birth, is the transformation from spiritual death to spiritual life. And that's exactly what Jesus said. In John 5, in verse 24, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes on him who sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's regeneration. That's what happens when God regenerates us. We go from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's the meaning. Now I want you to take your Bibles, turn to John 3 for the message of regeneration. And here's really our text this morning, John chapter 3, the message of regeneration. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 15. This is such an important text of Scripture. In John chapter 3, verse 1, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, regenerated, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, are you a teacher of Israel? And you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Here's the message of regeneration. And I want you to see, first of all, the gravity, the serious nature of this message. You see, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, you know, Jesus, we know you must be from God. You're doing some great things. He pays Jesus a compliment. But Jesus doesn't say, well, yeah, you got that right, you know. He cuts right down through brass tacks. And he says these words, truly, truly. Whenever you see those words, or in King James, verily, verily. In the Greek, amen, amen. Whenever you see those words, something important is going to be said. And what Jesus is going to say is something vitally important. Because it's talking about eternity. He's going to talk about where your soul is going to end up. This is serious. This is the gravity of this message. But look, too, at the personal nature of the message. Because it says here, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, to you. This is personal. This is a message from the lips of Jesus. Listen, the lips of God to man. And it's personal. This message is not a message for the group of the church. This message is not for the masses. I'll tell you what, folks. This message is for you.
Amen.
It's personal. It goes right down to every individual. He said this specifically to Nicodemus. This is not about churches, not a message to denominations, not a message to groups. It's a message not just to Nicodemus. It's just as relevant today as it was back 2,000 years ago. It is to you and to me. And I want you to note the content of the message. He says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, regenerated, they won't go to heaven. They won't go to heaven. This is serious stuff. Jesus is speaking here of where people are going to spend eternity when they pass from this world. Where the soul will live forever and ever and ever. And if a person is not born again, I don't care what they've done. I don't care if they've been a member of a church. I don't care if they've been baptized. I don't care if they were a pastor. If they've not been born again, they're not going to heaven. That's the content. And look at the certainty down in verse 7. Don't be amazed. Don't be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. You know, there are three musts when it comes to salvation and regeneration. Three musts. First of all, there's the must of how you get to heaven. And that's right here. There's no other way to get to heaven but regeneration by being born again. You must be born again. Then there's the must, a second must, and that there's no other basis but the cross. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, what? Must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, there was no other way but the cross. You can't be saved except you're born again. And you can't be saved any other way than through the cross. And then there's the third must. And that's the must. There's no other Savior except Jesus. There's no other Savior except Jesus. You see in verse 15? So that whoever believes will in who, what? Him have eternal life. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, there's only one way. You need to be born again. There's only one basis. It's the cross. He must be lifted up. And there's one Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, you know, Pastor, you shouldn't say that because that's unpopular today. You got to be tolerant.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no.
Yeah. Get him, Pastor.
I'm not going to be tolerant. I'll tell you what, you might come and you might get offended.
That's it.
And might say, boy, he's so narrow. I'll tell you what, you might get offended. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather you be offended and get saved. Because Jesus is the only way. The cross is the only basis. And being regenerated is the only way to see heaven. You must be born again. You must be born again. Now, that's the message. What's the means of regeneration? What are the means of regeneration? When Jesus said these things to Nicodemus, he was puzzled. He said, well, how can a man be born again? Well, God's given us means to be born again. The first one I want to share with you is the Word of God. The Word of God. You see, it's through the Word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1:18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, and especially the gospel message. I'll tell you, people are getting away from the gospel message. But I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. We need to be telling people. I'll tell you, when you witness, when you talk to people, use the word of God. Because God uses his word. He uses the foolishness of preaching to bring people to Christ, to produce regeneration, to help people to be born again. It's the word of God. But another means, we're born again through the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And again, you remember Titus 3:5. It says the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus mentions this in John. Look at John 3:5-6. Because he mentions this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He says this, when it comes to salvation and regeneration, the flesh profits nothing.
Absolutely.
The flesh profits nothing.
Yes.
The Spirit giveth life. There's nothing that I can do in the flesh to engender life. The Spirit of God is the one who comes in and births me, gives me new life. It's through the Word and the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. There's a little phrase here that we have to look at, and it's in verse, again, in verse 5. It says, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit. And what's it talking about here? Born of the water. Well, there's a number of different interpretations, and I want to give them to you so you know what's out there. I'll tell you one thing, it's not baptism. Can I say that? It's not baptism. Now, one interpretation or one solution is water is referring to the cleansing from sin when one is born again. Born of the water means that you have your sins forgiven, and then you're born of the Spirit means the Spirit of God comes in and gives you new life. That you've got to have your sins washed. The only problem with that is we're not washed by water. We're washed by blood. So I'm not sure about that one. Another interpretation, the water refers to the Word of God. The Word is associated with washing. In Ephesians 5:26, husbands are to sanctify their wives, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the Word. John 15:3, Jesus told his disciples, "You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you." If this is the proper interpretation, then water, it goes right along with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Because washing of the water would be the washing by the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. And the Spirit of God would be the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts. It's like the Word of God coming together with the Spirit of God, and when they get together, babies are born. Which is a possible interpretation. There's a third interpretation, that the water here refers to natural birth. Born of the water could perhaps mean born physically. One will never get to heaven by just being born physically. Amen? Amen. You don't get to heaven by being born physically. They have to be born physically, but also born spiritually. This interpretation, born of the water was physical birth, born of the Spirit is spiritual birth. This would seem to go along with verse 6. Maybe Christ is explaining here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's your natural birth. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's your supernatural birth. And I think that's pretty good. You know, some would put it this way, born once, die twice. If you're born once, you die physically, and then you have to die spiritually. Revelation 20, the second death is the lake of fire. But if you're born twice, you're born physically, and you're reborn spiritually. You only have to die once. Yes, amen. And that dying, to be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, man. I'll tell you what, when you have Christ. I kind of like that third one, that third view. That it's born twice. But the means of rebirth, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now I want to, last point here. The mystery of the new birth, or the mystery of regeneration. How does it all happen? How does it all happen? Nicodemus had a hard time understanding the details. How's this all go down? How can a man, when he's old, be born again? Can't crawl up into his mother's womb and be born a second time? Jesus, what are the details of this whole thing? And I want you to look at verse 8. As it says there, Jesus gives a little illustration. He says, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Very interesting illustration. By the way, the word here used for wind is the word pneuma. And the word here used for spirit is the word pneuma. Same word.
Yes, amen. It sure
is. Wind and spirit, same word. So it's interesting illustration that Jesus uses here. He says, the wind blows where it wishes. And we don't know where it comes from or where it's going. Even with Doppler radar, the weather forecasters, they don't know. They see this wind coming up here and they say, oh, we're going to get this. This is going to happen. And then it switches. Yes, and you know, being a weather forecaster, great job. You can be right 50% of the time, sometimes less. You still keep your job. And I have one question. When they say tomorrow there's a 50% chance of snow, what's that mean? What does it mean? It might snow, and it might not snow. Thank you. But you know what, people? Jesus said, getting born again. Regeneration is like that. There's mystery here. There's mystery here. You can't figure it out. You know, two unsaved men sit in the same church service. There are people here today that don't know the Lord. And two, and one hears God today and gets saved. And one walks out those doors, not affected at all, like water off a duck's back. Explain that to me. There's mystery here. There's mystery here. What about the details? How does it happen? I want to tell you this. Be careful when someone tells you they've got it all figured out. Because theologians have debated the details for centuries and they have not come to total agreement. I know people a lot smarter than I am. You see, there's the Arminians that say, God gives all people prevenient grace and men then must make a choice. And if he chooses to believe, the Spirit comes and he's born again. And the Reformed Calvinist says, a dead man can't do anything, can't choose. So God must regenerate the man so that he can believe. John Piper, in his book, Alive Again, says regeneration is the cause, faith is the result. But it happens simultaneous. Oh. What about what I believe? Well, here's how I think it is. Let me give you the right view. I think God, I know salvation begins with the Lord. Amen. And I know that God works on a lost, dead person. And I believe he grants them grace to repent.
Yes, amen.
Grace,
yes,
amen, to believe.
Yes,
amen. It's all of grace.
Yes,
repentance is a gift. Yes. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift.
Absolutely.
By God's working, the sinner that's going in his own way hears that voice, turns and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Spirit of God comes and interpenetrates his spirit and brings life. And the one who was dead is now alive. And I think that's how it happens. But there's mystery here. It's like wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. I want you to take your red hymnal. Take your red hymnal. We're not done yet, but take your red hymnal and turn to number 409. I want to give you a little illustration from this hymn, number 409. Great hymn. This is powerful. This is powerful. And I want you to, it talks about, I know, but look what he says in the verses. I know not. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. Can anybody say amen?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Nor why unworthy Christ in love redeem me for his own. I don't know. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves. I don't know. Convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. I know not when my Lord may come. Anybody know when Jesus is coming? I'll tell you, amen, praise God. You know what? If you would guess, if you got a guess, I think he'd change it for principle's sake. We don't know. At night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him, if I'm going to die and go be with him, or meet him in the air. I hope it's the latter, but I don't know. Do you hear what he said? Four verses. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know the details. Because there's mystery here. There's mystery here. But look at the refrain. But I know. Whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, I don't know how it all works. But I'll tell you, I know who I'm trusting in. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. I know that he died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. And I have placed my faith in him. And one day, back on August 26th, 1970, the Spirit of God, when I believed, came into my heart and gave me new life. I know I'm born again. How about you? Amen. Have you been born again? Are you sure? This is serious. Truly, truly, I say, Jesus said, I say to you, do you hear him? Unless you are born again, you're not going to go to heaven. I want to end with this story. And I received this, a letter from the Jesus Video Ministry. And I want to read you a story of a man. Listen to this. It's a mystery how this all happens. Long, dusty roads. A bus filled with people. The rattle of glass and metal. Hot, stuffy air. Allie was a passenger. A devout Middle Eastern man. Feeling depressed and overwhelmed by life, Allie was on a quest for peace and release. He thought if he could just complete the great pilgrimage to his religion's most sacred site, joining hundreds of thousands of others, his dark night of the soul would end. He fulfilled his obligations, his once-in-a-life experience. His pilgrimage was over, yet he was still feeling overwhelmed and even more depressed. He was getting desperate. On the bus ride back to the hotel, Allie happened to take a seat behind the driver. With nothing to lose, he started talking to the driver about his failed quest, his depression, and his desperation. The driver listened intently as he steered the bus along. Then he turned his head back to Allie and said, "May I suggest something else?" Allie agreed. "When you get off the bus, go and sit by yourself. This time, pray to Jesus. Share your problems with him and see what happens." At his stop, he did exactly as the driver suggested. He got off the bus, found a place to sit, and prayed to Jesus. Ali said that the very moment he spoke the name Jesus, joy flooded his soul. So much so that Ali began jumping up and down ecstatically. He didn't care who watched the sight. He was that elated. Ali continued to pray and got up to find the driver. But by now, the bus had left. Ali made his way home, still joyful. Now he embarked on a second quest to understand what had happened to him. But where he lived, there were no Christians to ask, no pastors to speak with, no Christian bookstores, no churches. However, he knew a neighbor who had, at least, he had a Christian name. To the neighbor, he explained, "Something's happened to me. I wasn't raised Christian. I need to know more about Jesus. Can you help me?" The neighbor replied, "I don't know how to help you, but someone did give me a DVD about Jesus. Would you like to watch it?" That evening, together, they inserted the Jesus DVD and sat down to watch. The scene in which the Lord presents himself to John the Baptist for baptism soon appeared. First, you see the back of his head as he moves toward John. How many have seen the DVD? Jesus. You see Jesus, the back of his head as he moves toward John. Then Jesus' feet stepping through the water. At last, the camera clearly revealed the face of Jesus. At that precise moment, Ali shot to his feet and shouted, "That's the bus driver! He's the driver of the bus! He's the one who told me!" I cannot imagine the astonishment of Ali or his friend must have felt. Ali sat down and the two of them watched the entire DVD, touched deeply by the Word of God, the basis of Jesus and the gospel. When the film concluded, Ali prayed again, and he was born again and became a follower of Jesus. Now transformed, even in the midst of the hostility that surrounds him, Ali tells everyone he knows about the good news, how Jesus turned his night into day. Wow. Marvel not at this. You must be born again.